Well, welcome everybody. You're very welcome, and especially welcome if you're a visitor here this morning. And welcome to everybody who's in solid ground, and anybody who's listening to the service online or through the CD ministry. It's a special morning this morning as we start really our Easter celebrations. This morning is an all-age service, so there's going to be no K4C. Everybody's going to stay in the service. Various people are taking part. Hayley's doing a short talk, and then Neil will be giving us a short talk later on as well. The announcements are all in the announcement sheet, but I'd just like to highlight a few for you. There's one or two changes, particularly on timings, so don't necessarily rely on the timings for one or two of the services in the announcements. So the Easter services are all themed on Easter moments. And the first one is starting on Wednesday evening, and it's a TAP service, and we'll be praying through, there'll be three different sections in terms of the way that the prayer will be running in that service. Neil will be sharing a short word with us, and we'll be singing a little bit. The prayer ministry team will be on hand if anybody would like prayer. So that'll be a special time. So none of the other discipleship groups or anything will be meeting. We'll be meeting here for that. So that's 7:30 on Wednesday. And then on Good Friday, we have, the theme will be the moment that Jesus dies will be our focus. And that'll be 7:30 here. We'll be breaking our fast, that those who have been fasting. If you've not been fasting, don't worry about it. Just come on ahead. And then we'll have a communion service at 8:30. And then on Easter morning, starting early in Clocky, we have the dawn service at 7 a.m. That'll be meeting on at the Warren at Clocky, and up at the Big Stone. So there'll be a short service and then back to Clocky Church for a little bit of a warm-up and some welcome bacon butties. And so that'll be a good time. So everybody's welcome to that. Then we have the morning service, and the theme then will be the moment Jesus lives. And then we have an evening service as well here at 6:30 when in Clocky. I see that now. Yeah. Sorry. I see that now. Yeah. Yeah, no, sorry. Thank you for that. I'm reading notes here, so apologies for that. So I think that probably reinforces it quite well that it's in Clocky, okay? So there we go. The GB displays are on in Clocky on Tuesday and Thursday night, so if you'd like to go along to those, you'd be made very, very welcome. There's another announcement here that there is some ice cream left over from the plays, and they're going to be selling that after the service, a suggested donation of £1 per little tub. And the one thing I would suggest to you is just go easy on the honeycomb. That would be my favorite. You're welcome to all the strawberry and all that stuff, but the honeycomb, okay? I'm joking. Well, I'm joking a little, maybe. So, this morning, Palm Sunday, Jesus entering Jerusalem. What an amazing time that must have been. So we really just want to get caught up in the excitement of that time when Jesus entered Jerusalem. Zechariah 9, verse 9 reads, "Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king comes to you. He is righteous and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a donkey." That's amazing when you consider that that was a prophecy written in the Old Testament 500 years before the actual event took place. And that's just the amazing way that God's word is all works together, how this is all part of God's plan to bring us salvation. So we're going to sing now, and we're going to sing Hosanna, Praise is Rising.
Come have your
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just praise and thank you for everything that you have done for us. Thank you, Lord, for the words that we have been singing. And I just pray that you will bless us as we sing your praises this morning, that as we just get caught up in the excitement with the significance of Palm Sunday, the start of the week when Jesus does that incredible journey through to the power of the cross and then the victory of the resurrection. Oh Lord, we have so much to be grateful for, and we just give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. How amazing it must have been to see you on that donkey arriving in Jerusalem, just as it had been foretold. Just that amazing moment when everybody was worshiping and praising you. Hosanna, you are a God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Thank you that your ways are far greater than our ways. Your thoughts far deeper than our thoughts. That you had a plan to redeem, that your answer our prayers, and that you can make all things new. Lord, we give you our worship, for you are holy and just. We declare that your love stands firm and your loving kindness endures forever. Lord, we humbly seek your mercy and forgiveness on our lives. We're sorry for getting carried away with the busyness of each day and for not taking time to be still in your presence and to dwell in your love and grace. Oh Lord, we so often allow the stresses and demands of our life to erode and distract from our relationship with you. So often we desire the wrong things that just don't last, and we forget to engage with the real, lasting treasure that only you can give and provide. So Lord, just in a few moments of silence, we just come to you now individually to confess our sins before you. Lord, help us to stray strong and true to you by not following after the voice of the crowd, to stay close to you, to listen as you speak to us, to seek after you alone. Lord, just help us to make way in our lives for Christ the King. Lord, as we worship you as a church family on this Palm Sunday, help us to put aside all the distractions of the week that we have had, to put aside all the plans we have for today, to put aside all the plans for the week ahead. Just fill us full of joy in your presence, and may we be filled with the desire to know you, and to walk more closely with you. Lord, we just ask that you would now just bless everybody who takes part. And we bring all these things to you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We're going to sing our second piece of praise, and that is Make Way, Make Way.
Make way for Christ the King in splendor. Good morning, everyone. I want to just say at the start a big thank you to everyone who's going to be taking part. Alan has done a wee bit, and there's going to be some other people coming up this morning to read and pray, and Haley's going to talk to us in a minute or two, bringing the boys and girls down, and then I'll speak a wee bit before we go home. So thank you to everyone who has volunteered, or, well, didn't volunteer, but when they were asked, they said yes. So that was good. So I'm going to invite Aidan to come now. She's going to come and read for us from God's Word this morning.
Mark 11, verses 1 to 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage in Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of the disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' tell them, 'The Lord needs it, and we'll bring it back here shortly.' They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, 'What are you doing untying this colt?' They answered, as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest!' Jesus entered Jerusalem and went to the temple. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12."
So that is the story of Jesus coming into Jerusalem. And now that story is going to be made alive, because Haley is going to come up. Boys and girls, come down to the front, we're going to talk to you. I'm not going to talk, Haley's going to talk. And then we'll sing a piece, and then if you just go back again. So you're not going out today, you're staying in for the whole service.
Okay, so I'm going to start reading the passage, and then I'll give you a wee nod. And can I let you in a secret? The elders were doing it down at Clockgate, and I had to give them a big nod. And I think yous will be better. Do you think so? Okay. So Matthew 21, it says, "Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, "The Lord needs them," and he will send them at once." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." Okay, girls, this is your bit. So it says, the disciples went and did as Jesus directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt. So we're going to go over and get the donkey. And the colt, and put on them their cloaks. So we're going to pretend to put our coats on them. And sat on them. Do you think we could sit in? Waddle over. Okay. So now they brought the donkey and the coat. Okay. So most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road. So half of you ran and get a coat. And the other half cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. So if everybody take a wee coat and spread them along the road. Great. Okay. Nice and easy with the palm trees. Okay. Great. Do you want to take a palm tree? Good. Good. Who wants a palm tree? Right. Everybody can have a palm tree. Okay. And okay, for everybody, take away your seat now, nice and easy. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "So girls, you're going to walk with the donkey across the road." And then guess what happens next? The crowds that followed him and went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." So what do we do? Hosanna! 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 Great. And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." That's great. So that's basically what happened. That's what we remember. Girls, you can take a wee seat. Thank you so much to everybody. So that's basically what happened whenever we read this story, and we call it Palm Sunday. So that's what we celebrate today. But whenever I was reading this passage, a couple of things stood out to me. And one of them was the fact that Jesus, like, some people didn't even know who this person Jesus was. They had never heard of him before. And yet he was riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, and there was this big, massive palaver made of him, and the people didn't even know who he was. So I'm wondering if anybody could help, just in case anybody in church doesn't know who Jesus is. Does anybody know? Yes, Yenna? You forgot. Can anybody help her out? Yeah, big brother. Yeah, it's God's own son, isn't it? Jesus came, and he on Palm Sunday, he had a very special job to do. So he was God's only son, and he had a very special job to do. And that's what we celebrate, Jesus coming into Jerusalem to do that very special job. And Neil's going to be talking about that a wee bit later. Because Jesus, on Good Friday, which Neil's going to talk about, he died and took away the punishment for our sins. But on Palm Sunday, we celebrate the joy of Jesus arriving in Jerusalem. But you know, in verse 10, the Bible says that people actually said, "Who is this?" So there was people in the Bible, like I just said, that didn't know Jesus. But the Bible also said that there's people in our world today, even today, that don't know who Jesus is. Isn't that really strange? Actually, isn't it really sad? Because don't we all know who Jesus is? We've heard about him, haven't we? But do you know, the Bible also tells us that it's not just about hearing about who Jesus is. Because in verse 11, there was people that answered, and they were able to say who Jesus was. They were the ones going, "Hosanna, Hosanna." Do you remember, like we just did? We were going, "Hosanna, Hosanna." And they were crying out to God. These people that knew Jesus, they were crying out to him. They were praising him. They were worshiping him. They were asking him for help. But yet they turned their backs later on Jesus. They didn't want to know anything about Jesus later on in the Bible. And it sort of reminded me a little bit, I mean, I've been like this before in my life as well, where I've came to church and I've just sort of went along with how things go. I sing the songs and I pray, and I maybe went to K4C. Well, I didn't actually, but I went to another Sunday school. But maybe you go to K4C, or maybe you go to GB or BB. But do you know what? That doesn't actually mean that you know Jesus. Because to know Jesus means that we have to say, "Jesus, I am so sorry for the things that I have done. I want you to be my best friend, and I want you to help me with all the things and the rest of the things that I have to do in my life." So there's a difference in knowing Jesus and singing to him than to actually praying to him and having him as your best friend and your savior. But why do we need to know Jesus? Does anybody know? Yeah? Yeah, he did make us, which makes him a very special person. So that's one good reason why we need to know him. But does anybody else maybe know? Yeah? Absolutely, that's right. So we can thank him for dying on the cross for us. Because the Bible says that we can't get to heaven if we don't know who Jesus is, if we don't have Jesus as our savior, as our best friend. If Jesus isn't our savior and our best friend, then we can't get to heaven without him. Isn't that really, really sad? But do you know, it's not just about getting to heaven, because I said a quote, I'm 22 and I hope that I have many years left. But to know that I have Jesus as my best friend every single day on earth to help me through the really hard times, to help me whenever I do things wrong, and to know that he always loves me is so special. And he can be that person for you as well. So on Palm Sunday, we remember Jesus entering Jerusalem to do the most special of jobs that anybody could ever do for us. And we have to worship him and praise him for that and believe in him ourselves. So just as I finish, I've got one last question for everybody. And it's not just for the boys and girls here. It's for everybody. And I'd just like to ask, do you know Jesus? And that's me.
Hosanna in the highest. Boys and girls, you can stay here and sing it, and then after we finish singing the wee song, you go back just to your seats, to your mums and dads, okay? Thank you, Hayley. Let's give a round of applause, folks. That was great. So let's stand and sing Hosanna in the highest. Okay, folks, we're going to continue to worship God now with our tithes and our offerings. Your offerings will now be received. Pray. Lord God, we do thank you that we can sing Hosanna. Lord, we cry out for you to save us. And Lord, we know, we surely know the answer to that prayer. For many of us have felt the answer to that prayer, Lord, as you have broken into our lives. You have saved us. You are our best friend. And Lord, we want that to continue as you want it to continue. And Lord, in all the things that we do in this congregation, we want people to know Jesus as their own best friend and personal Savior. And may our offering, Lord, help us to do that in this place and in places far away that we may never be able to go to, but where people are there crying Hosanna to the Lord to save them. So Lord, we ask that you would bless this, our offering, for we offer it in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, we're introducing a new segment to our service of worship, which we will do hopefully once a month, and it's called This Time Tomorrow. Some of you may have heard of this before. Some of you may be going, what about this time tomorrow? Are we going to be sitting here this time tomorrow? And the answer to that is no. But we'll all be doing different things this time tomorrow, at just after midday. And I'm going to invite Sam McGarry, who is going to come up. That's it. Come on, Sam. Please move. Oh, he's not refused me. Thank you. I did organize with this with Sam last week. It was funny at the door. I was asking Sam if he'd come up and share what he's going to be doing this time tomorrow. And Helen comes out to the door and she goes, "What are you doing?" And Sam, he goes, "Well, you know the way Norman and Alan took over for Neil in a couple of Sundays when he's off? He's asked me to do the same." And Helen went, "What?" So no, he's not taking over if I'm not here. But Sam is going to come and I'm going to ask him, first of all, a question about what he does. Some of you will maybe not even recognize Sam because they usually hide away up in the corner or he's stuck down in the sound booth. You've been with us for how long now, Sam? Helen, how long have you been here?
About 3 years.
So, you know, they've been here with us for 3 years. Helen works in the BB. So this gives us an opportunity to get to know some people that we don't know. Sometimes people sit upstairs, some sit downstairs, and you don't know who they are. We have new members to the congregation. But we also want to give you the opportunity as a congregation to pray for the members of the congregation just a new way. So, first of all, Sam, what is your... Now, you speak into this and answer to them. What is your job, first of all? What do you do?
The job title is Consulting Forensic Engineer.
Sorry, I drifted off there.
Most people do.
Bring that alive for us. What do you have to do? What does that entail?
Well, I've got a couple of wee notes here, so I didn't know this was going to be sort of a question and answer thing. So
go ahead. I'll just interrupt you whenever I feel it's appropriate.
No, you're all right. You're okay. Got a sermon set out here. So my name's Sam, as Neil's just said. I live in Grey Abbey with my wife Helen. We've been attending Trinity since somewhere around 2016, after moving down the peninsula from Ardstown back in 2008. My job title, as Neil's just asked there, is Consulting Forensic Engineer, not to be confused with Forensic Scientist. An awful lot of people think, as soon as they hear forensic, they think microscopes and fingerprints and samples and all that sort of thing. Forensic Scientist looks at the microscopic level. I look at the larger picture. My academic background is civil engineering, but my job primarily relates to claims and accidents. Accidents at work, known as employer's liability claims, are accidents involving the general public, which would be a public liability. My dad owned a civil engineering contracting firm, and through one of his contacts, I stumbled upon the field of forensic engineering, and I applied for a job. Obviously, that then took me to the forensic side of engineering rather than design or construction, which were sort of the more traditional routes of engineering with some other degree. I remained at that small practice for 23 years. It's a very long apprenticeship, during which I studied for my engineering career. Did that part-time. I'm now self-employed, freelance, running my own small practice. I can find myself engaged either for the injured party or for the company or identity being sued. Effectively, my role is to provide a technical input to the legal industry relating to causation or liability. Generally, I would inspect the scene, sometimes years after the accidents happened, and then report back to my client solicitor, and thereafter, if it's not resolved, I give evidence in court. You asked me to share what I will be doing in 24 hours' time, this time tomorrow.
Roughly 9 minutes past 12.
9 minutes past 12. As it happens, the courts are in recess the next 2 weeks. So my week over the next 2 weeks is going to be quite different, quite relaxed, because I have no courts. And because I have no courts, the barristers are off on holiday, solicitors are off on holiday, and many of the engineers are off on holiday. So it gives me a chance to get caught up. So this time tomorrow, I'm more than likely going to be sitting down either with a cup of tea or preparing a report. But typically, midday on a Monday, I could find myself either at an accident scene with a client, carrying out research in relation to a claim, looking at a system of work or a piece of machinery, or preparing a written report. More than often, I find myself in court, sitting around waiting to give evidence. So
you, sometimes you could be the gamekeeper and sometimes you're the poacher. It all depends who's paying you the most.
Absolutely. Well, yes.
So, I mean, that's a whole part of an industry that I didn't really know existed. You know, you make a claim for insurance, but people have to figure out whether that claim is right or not or what. So that's a very responsible job that you do that we don't really know much about. And it's maybe good because you'd maybe get a lot of hate mail if you're not saying somebody could get the big claim that they've just put in for. But
Not everybody likes to hear what they're told.
No, I'm sure that's the case. I thought if he's going to be sitting around tomorrow, this time tomorrow, drinking tea, he must be job like a minister. So folks, this time tomorrow, what we're going to do is we're going to pray for Sam. So this time tomorrow, about 10 past 12, Sam's going to know that this congregation are praying for him. And then maybe after the Easter holidays, just remember, midday on a Monday, to pray for Sam. He could be in court giving some evidence, which is very crucial. It's a very responsible job that he does. He's going to need a lot of wisdom and knowledge to find the facts in something that's happened a long time ago. So, and you never know, sometime you might be looking for a claim, and it might be Sam that actually makes it possible, or somebody like him, somebody else that does that job. So, Sam, thank you very much for coming up and sharing with us, and I'm now going to invite Josh, who's going to come up and lead us in our prayers of intercession. Thank you.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, this morning as we gather in comfort and safety, we pray for our brothers around the world. Statistically, we know that today 3 churches will be attacked, 7 Christians will be put in prison, and 10 Christians will die for their faith. And this happens every day. We're sorry for our ignorance. We hear the figures, but often the distance apart diminishes our sadness. It's not happening in our peninsula. It's not people that we know. We pray that we will suffer together as a family, and it will drive us to action so that more people can worship you freely. We thank you that we know that one day every tongue will confess, and from then there will be no persecution. We pray for the people in the spotlight who stand out for you daily. We pray for guidance and wisdom for them. We pray specifically at this time for the rugby players who are in the news, likely to lose their jobs for posting religious content online. We pray that they will feel close to you in the decisions ahead. We thank you that you invite us to be part of your kingdom mission, and we pray for our church's mission focus in 2020. We pray that you will bless the preparation at this time, and that you will guide all the plans. We pray that you will prepare the hearts of the local people. We will meet and break down any barriers there are currently. And we do pray for our village, that everyone feels safe in their homes. We pray against the rise in antisocial behaviour in our village, and we pray for the young ones causing this distress. We pray for all the churches in the village that we can be a light and make a difference in these issues while glorifying you, God. At this time of year, we pray for the examination season. We pray for a focus and a determination for the preparations needed, and that the grades will be enough for the plans that you have for us. We pray for the people here this morning and the people we know this morning. We know being unwell extends far beyond physical, so we pray for anyone who is in distress physically and or mentally unwell, either here or someone we know that is close to us. We pray that they will get the assistance they need and that you, Lord, will direct their path, heal them and restore them. We thank you for this Easter time, and we do pray that there will be time in our families for rest and to spend time together. We pray for the people currently who are away from their families at this time, that they will still feel close to their families. And we pray at this Easter time that during the time that we have off, that there will be opportunities to talk about you, to talk about what this Easter season really is all about. Father, we thank you that you hear our prayers, And we pray this in Jesus' powerful name. Amen.
Thank you to everyone who has helped do those, or lead us in worship this morning. I just want to spend a couple of minutes now just talking about Easter moments, and this is the moment we're talking about when Jesus entered into Jerusalem. And I am pretty sure that every one of us, even the very youngest in the room, will have big moments that you remember. It might be the moment that you opened the best Christmas present ever. It might be the moment that you saw your little brother and sister for the first time. It may be the moment you met the love of your lifetime. You just knew that he or she was the one. It may be the moment that he went on to one knee and proposed. Oh, why am I looking at you, Terry, for that? I don't know. It just happened. Maybe the Lord just, no, maybe I need to go somewhere else. Maybe it was the moment you got your heart broken. Maybe that's something that you remember. Maybe it was the time you got that job that you've trained for or always wanted. Or maybe it was the moment that you lost the job that you've always loved. Moments, good or bad. Let me ask you this. Where were you the moment you heard about 9/11? I bet you all remember, for those of us who remember it, you remember where you were when you heard about 9/11. Do you remember where you were when you heard that Princess Diana had died in that car crash? Do you remember the last time Liverpool won the top flight of the football league in England? Let's take a moment to pray. Lord, in the next few weeks, we pray that everyone will remember. Maybe you're old enough to remember the Queen's coronation. What a moment that was. You never forget some of these big moments, either in your own life or moments in the world that you just remember where you were. Today we're looking at this significant moment in Jesus' last few days here on earth. We're today looking at the moment he entered Jerusalem. And over the next few times that we meet together, and I want to just now, the Bible says confession is good for your soul. So I want to confess to Fiona, who's sitting up there. I did not send Fiona through all the titles and all the dates and all the times the way I normally do. So, yes, some of them on the announcement sheet are different from what's going to happen, but they're all too early. So at least you're not going to turn up late for anything. You might turn up early. So if you turn up and no one's there, hang tight. We'll be there in a moment or two. But on Wednesday night at 7:30 in here, we're going to remember the moment when Jesus prays. There's a significant passage where Jesus prays for himself, for his disciples, and for people who will believe. And we're going to pray about those three things here. We're going to worship together. It's normally a discipleship group night, so you'll have that blocked off. So come here and let's pray together, following that pattern that Jesus prayed. Then on Good Friday, we're going to come and we're going to break the fast together at 7:30. So I don't know if you've been fasting. Confession is good for the soul. I was at a wedding yesterday, and the wagon, the wheels fell off it. I fell off the wagon. The wagon fell apart. The horses ran away. It was not a good day for the fast, shall we say. But today's a new day. So we've one more week left to get through to next Friday. Whatever you're fasting off, I trust you're knowing God's presence, and that you're reading the book and reading and praying about the world and praying for the world around us. Now, if you can't get there at 7:30, and even if you're not fasting, but you want to come and share with a meal, then come along. You know, it's not just for people who are reading the book and praying. If you want to come along and share with us at the big banquet tables as we have a meal together, then come at 7:30. If you can't make it for 7:30, but you want to share then as we share communion. That moment that Jesus died, that's what we're going to focus on. When he died for us. If you want to come and share with us at that communion service, then come along at 8:30. We've always done this. We pull a few tables in at the end and a few more chairs and just extend the table to make room for anyone who wants to come along. Then the dawn service at 7 a.m. Yep, a.m. For some of you young people, 7 o'clock happens twice every day. The moment death was defeated. Down at Clockey, at the car park, at the big stain. That's not something that's on your shirt. It's a big stone. But that's what they call it. and we'll have breakfast afterwards. And then Easter Sunday morning, the moment that people realized that Jesus was alive, and then Sunday evening at clock 8, 6:30, the moment the disciples' eyes were open. So put those dates in your diary and come and share with us. But this is the moment where Jesus enters into Jerusalem. And I want to just focus a wee minute and expand on what we've been illustrated, what we've seen before us this morning here by Haley. So Jesus was entering, and this news spread. So there was no such thing as text messages or Instagram or any way of social media spreading this, going viral. This went viral by word of mouth. And we've got four gospel accounts here. And it's good to read them all, because some of them put in pieces of information and some of the gospel writers put in other pieces of information. But it's good for us to read it all and build this big picture. So in John tells us the crowd that were there are some of the crowd that were there when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. So we remember the story of Mary and Martha, and their brother had died, and Jesus came and raised him from the dead. These people were here, and they were running around going, "Come on, Jesus is here." And some people would have been saying, "Jesus who?" Now that might be strange for us, because we know Jesus, who Jesus is. Hands up, does anybody else know anyone else called Jesus? No. We don't use that name now too much. It was just Joshua. It was a very common name, like Nigel or Brian or Neil or any kind of boy's name at all. And lots of people were called Jesus. "Jesus who's coming," they would have said. Then they would have said, "The Jesus who raised Lazarus from the dead." And they would have went, "Oh, that Jesus." Because some people didn't know Jesus. They hadn't heard these stories. Some had only heard the stories and they'd never met Jesus. So they were flocking to see this Jesus. Now, I'm going to get you to confess. Now, confession's good for your soul. Hands up if you've been watching Derry Girls. You're not even going to put, there's a few. Oh, shame. Look at that. There's a hand up at the back. Good lad. Get your hand up there. I can tell you, I was there. I was there in those days. I was at Tech and Derry when that portion of time. And a bit later, I was working there whenever the last of the series, they were showing how Bill Clinton came to Derry. Well, what a day that was. I'd never seen him, never met him, but we stood with the crowds. We got off work, so we were allowed to leave the work, and guys, that was the only reason we were going. And there he was, people out waving their flags as Bill Clinton entered Derry. But this was something similar, even more. A miracle worker, Jesus. That Jesus. Why was it so significant about Lazarus? See, Lazarus was in the tomb for over 3 days. So that was the length of time that they believed any spirit, any chance, any opportunity for life to be returned had gone by this stage. So that Jesus, in raising Lazarus, performed a miracle that only the Messiah could do. There were a number of miracles that only the Messiah could do, and this was one of them. That's why, on this occasion, Jesus has been to Jerusalem before. But what made this one different? Because this was the one where it counted. This is the one where he had raised Lazarus. All of the boxes had been ticked, all the miracles had been done, and Jesus was now coming in, riding on a donkey, fulfilling, as Alan said at the start, fulfilling Old Testament prophecy. Jesus was here. And the children, they were there. They were running around shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna." This was an opportunity for all generations. That's why we want you boys and girls in the room this morning. Because that's what happened on this day. Families all gathered to see Jesus entering. It was exciting. But now for a moment, let's think about what it was like for Jesus. So he has already set his face towards Jerusalem. He knows that this is his time. So he has made those preparations. Whatever way the donkey deal was done, the donkey was provided. He got on it. He knew the prophecies that were being fulfilled. And he went in. People spreading their cloaks, cutting the palm branches down, singing Hosanna, children shouting. But Jesus knew exactly what lay ahead of him, didn't he? Because we can read in Luke's gospel that as he approached Jerusalem, he stopped and he looked over the city and he wept. He cried for the city. Because he knew they didn't really fully understand why he was coming. This city full of people, described as the whole world. That's what the Pharisees said. Look how the whole world is running after him. Because there was Jews from all parts of the known world, all packed into the city for the Passover feast. Who's ever been to the Lammas Fair? One or two. Packed, isn't it? You walk around like this here. I've seen it only on TV. I wasn't going near it. I can't be doing with all them crowds. Packed. That's what Jerusalem was like. Packed full of people. The whole world were there for the Passover. But Jesus entered in and he knew exactly what was going to happen. And the irony of their misunderstanding was this. They all misunderstood what Jesus was there for and what he was going to do. They thought he was going to come and conquer the Romans. And then they were disappointed because he didn't. But what was really happening, he was conquering death. He was conquering something far greater than the Roman Empire. But as Jesus walked in, I wondered, this is probably me being cynical, was Jesus on his donkey and everybody was shouting Hosanna and Jesus was going, "Hi, singing Hosanna now. I know rightly what you're going to do in a few days' time. I know you're all going to turn on me." But that's just human cynicism. That's just us being cynical about it. I believe Jesus rode in there and he looked at those people and he loved them. He knew what they were going to do, but he loved them. That's why he was on the donkey in the first place, because he loved them. He knew what he had to do to get that relationship restored, that loving relationship between us and God. And he did that out of love. He went to the cross out of love for us. This was a significant moment that those people in the crowds would never, ever forget. I imagine many years, maybe 30, 40 years after Jesus had ascended, there were people going, "Do you remember that day Jesus came into Jerusalem?" And they went, "Oh, I'll never forget that." A significant moment in people's lives as they saw Jesus. But what about significant Jesus moments today? None of us were in Jerusalem. We weren't there on Palm Sunday. We weren't there in the days that were following. We have to rely on this historical document that tells us that this thing happened. But we know this moment was real. This historical document holds to the truth. It lines in with other historical documents, not biblical records, not religious records. People have taken the Bible, they've pulled it apart, historians and linguists, and they've said, "What was Jesus doing?" or "What was this Bible about?" And they believe this is the greatest work of antiquity. That just simply means this is one of the greatest historical records that's ever been written. So we know that this happened. But what we also know is not just the fact that it happened, that this moment was real, but the motivation was also real. And that motivation remains today. Yes, Jesus is not here. Jesus is with the Father. He's gone. But haven't many of us in this room had a Jesus moment? Haven't we? Oh, somebody please nod. Oh, tell me that somebody, is there one soul that's met Jesus? Yes. Thank you, Heather. Heather and I have met Jesus. Many of us have had a moment where we've felt the reality of Jesus by the power of his Holy Spirit. See, he didn't leave us alone. He sent the Holy Spirit. And we know that Jesus is alive. We know that Jesus existed. And not only do we know that he existed, we know why he existed. We know, folks, that he went to the cross for us, that he has saved us. And we have that great assurance that Haley was telling us about. Not just that we've got a pass to get to heaven, but we've got Jesus with us every day of our lives. We've had the moment when the story makes sense. All of the questions. But maybe for you, you're as confused as some of the people were in the first days. Maybe you're as disappointed as some of those people were in the first days. But there will come a point if you look for it. If you seek that moment, the Holy Spirit will help you understand that your sin is real, that eternity is real. There's two eternities, there's two destinations, and there's two ways to live on this earth until Jesus Christ returns or until we leave this scene of time when we die. And the realization is Jesus' motivation is still the same today as it was the day he rode into Jerusalem. Jesus, a man called Jesus, actually got a donkey, sat on it, and paraded into Jerusalem, and people put coats on the ground. That really happened. and his motivation is as real today, saving souls that are lost. And he does that through people who've had the Jesus moment, who know who Jesus is, who realize Jesus in their lives. Maybe you haven't had that moment yet. We pray that this Easter you will get a moment like that. You will seek out this story and you will listen to it and you will engage with it personally. But for us who have, folks, the question for us today is, when was the last time you shared a Jesus moment with someone? When was the last time you shared with someone what it means to you to have Jesus in your life? What does it mean to you to have a prayer answered? There might be in a few Mondays' time when Sam is walking into a particularly difficult situation, maybe on site where somebody's been hurt, something bad has happened, or he's walking into a particularly difficult courtroom, and he will know at 10 past 12, hey, there's a good chance that somebody in this congregation is actually praying for me today. And then he might be able to have an opportunity to share with somebody, Sam, how did you remain so calm under pressure? And Sam will be able, Sam, I'm not putting these words in your mouth, by the way. This is just one example because Sam's been up here this morning. Sam might be able to say, well, a few Sundays ago I stood at church and told people what I do and the people said there they would pray for me. How many of us will take a Jesus moment like that to share what God is doing in our lives and the hope that we have and the assurance that we have that we're in a family who loves each other and cares for each other and prays for each other. The comfort that we feel in hard times, are we sharing that with other people? Folks, have you even recognized a triumphant moment in your life? Because Healy says you can come to church but it doesn't make you a Christian. But even when you're a Christian, you have to work hard at finding out where God is in your life and what he's doing and if you're praying in the right direction and getting the answers to prayers. Folks, it's important for us who know and love Jesus, who had that moment, to share these experiences with other people. It's not just important, it's actually commanded. We're commanded to tell people what Jesus has done. And you know this, folks. Jesus has done all the hard work. We'll discover. We know the Easter story, don't we? The most of us here know the Easter story. Boys and girls, you know the Easter story. You've heard it many, many times. Jesus has done all the hard work. He just asks us to tell people what it's like to have him in our lives and love him. You know, he's done all that hard work, folks. It would be a bad job if we couldn't tell people about it. At school, at work, wherever the Lord takes us, this time tomorrow or any other day. And let us all pray for these moments now over the next week as we meet together for prayer, as we meet together to share food and fellowship, as we go on about our daily business and have these moments so that people in this village, in our lives, might just share a moment with us when Jesus breaks into their life. We're going to sing now as we close this service this morning. Jesus Christ, I think upon your sacrifice. Folks, when we truly think about what Jesus has done for us, how can we remain silent and not share this? So let's stand together. Let's be motivated as we leave our service of worship today to go and talk to people about Christ. Let's stand together as we sing.
Jesus Christ, I think upon your sacrifice, you became nothing, born out to death. Place once again.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and remain on every one of us, both now and forevermore. Amen.